You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Mops and Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
I am above board, my fine friend. I am above board.
Hey, all our guests are on. It's going to be a great show tonight, Tom.
Well, I have no doubt about that at all. I was looking for our security in the chat room. I guess he's sleeping today, but Tyler's there. So, Tyler, you know what I'm going to tell you. Take care of the situation. You know, I told you guys a while back about after the holiday there was going to be sightings all over the country. Well, here it is. One more time, I told you so. Okay? I told you so. There have been sightings coming in from Canada, from all over the country. And let me tell you, we all may get real lucky before the end of this year, whether it's us, whether it's a neighboring state, whether it's a brethren in the field. This just may be the year, folks. I'm telling you straight up, because too many sightings going around too much around this country. And it's because of people like us and other people who are getting out to the masses. It's making people aware. And I'm telling you right now, don't be too surprised that if somebody comes up with one of these creatures by the end of the year, I really, really think something's going to happen.
It's Tom. I just got an email just prior to the show here, and there's another one.
Really?
I'll put them on next week. They wanted to be on this week. I couldn't put them on.
I know.
I just didn't have time. I was doing the show. But
it's crazy. It's totally crazy right now. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a troubling situation. And I'll tell you the reason why. There's just too many of them, and there's just not enough real Bigfoot searchers that can get out there and get it all done. That's the problem, because these things are ferociously moving. They're migrating, okay? And if we had enough serious Bigfoot hunters, researchers, call them what you like, they'd be out there getting the job done as we are, you know? I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. I really don't. All I know is, yeah, you're right, we've got to... bunch of great people on the show tonight. And you know what, Marco, Bill, we're hooked up with some wonderful, wonderful people, because you know they're loyal to us. They've been with us all these years. And you know what else? I'll tell you straight up. No matter what, thick and thin, and that's the colors. Okay, it's like the colors of the flag, folks. They don't fade. If they're with you, they're with you no matter what. And I'll tell you what, my hat goes off to each and every one of them out there that can hear my voice, hear Marco Bill's voice. It's kudos to you guys, because without you, there's no us. And I want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts, not mine, but mine and Bill's both. And thank you for being with us. I'm sure that you parrot that statement, don't you, Bill?
Absolutely. And it's just, we have some phenomenal people out there, friends and family, and they've been with us for a lot of years. Some of the newer ones have been with us just a short time. They don't believe the garbage that's on the internet. Oh, so much garbage about everybody out there. And we don't pay attention to it anymore, folks. We go on with what we're doing and just keep on going straight ahead. There's more important things than trying to answer up for garbage out there, so we don't do that. And we don't smear other people either. We value everyone that's out there that's doing this, and you're all a valuable asset to us. Thank you.
And it's very true, ladies and gentlemen. It's very, very true. I just want you to know that. Just stay tuned, because what we're doing in this next 30 to 60 days is going to be very detrimental to the Bigfoot world. Hey, we've been kind of under the radar. And you know what? We're doing it for a reason. So you just wait and see. You'll hear about it for all TV. You'll hear it on the radios. You'll see it in the news. You'll see it on radios and on broadcast all over the country. It's coming. I'm telling you straight up. We're not that far away. You just wait and see. Anyhow, without any further ado, what I want to do is I want to send out our prayers to Chuck Creel's daddy. All those prayers that you guys put out there for him, he's on the mend, getting better. And Chuck wanted me to relay that to each and every one of you guys, and thank you from the bottom of his heart. Same thing for Leroy Blevins' family member that has that cancer. I was just yesterday... I've had a problem. I just haven't brought it to anybody, but a friend of mine, kind of like a relative of mine, has cancer and has been going through chemotherapy, and I've been doing a lot of prayers. And the problem of the situation here is they're making it. They're making it. And I want to tell you right now, and thank you for the people that know me, who know this person. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. So without any further ado, let's get out to our first guest. And it does my heart good, ladies and gentlemen. We're going out to Virginia tonight. There's a good guy that we've had on the show in the past. Okay? On a show in the past. It's Anthony, and he finally had his first encounter up close and personal. Without any further ado, let's get out there. Anthony, you out there?
Yes, sir.
You know, I want to thank you very much for that. It does my heart good. It does Marco Bill's heart well. And thank you for sharing with us and now with all of our people around the globe. Why don't you tell everybody how this whole thing came about and where we're at today with you and your situation?
Well, I guess just to give a little background to everybody that's listening. You know, last year when I had contacted Marco Bill, there was an area that was newly constructed, and you know, for my company. And a lot of times I would travel up and down this road, and you know, and I would see these formations, and wasn't you know, I really didn't pay no mind to them until doing just something with Bigfoot came in a conversation, and all wound up on your website, and I was just, you know, comparing some things. And the next time I was out at that location, I just remembered those formations from your website, and emailed them to Marco Bill there, and asked him if this was something, and you know, he confirmed that it was. And so for the past year, every time I've been, you know, I had business to go down this area because it's a private road. But we have a right-of-way there. And every time I've been going down there, I literally have my lunch. I probably take a little bit too much time doing that. But I stop and I look for new formations. Sometimes I would find, you know, tree breaks. Wouldn't find anything solid, no footprints or everything like that, but I would always find a fresh tree bend, a tree break, and I don't know if I had a chance to mention this last year, but there's a little hut there that we go to and check on our equipment, and the thing that sparked my interest was that every time I would go to the hut, it was like there was, you know, so a rock was being thrown at it. You know, I could hear somebody throw a rock on the other, you know, the outside, and I would always go outside and, you know, wondering who did it. And sometimes if I was there with a coworker, I would say, did you knock on the wall, or did you, you know, and they would be too far away, or you know, it would be on the side of a wall that nobody was standing. And so after taking, again, you know, this, you know, this probably about 90% of the times I go to that hut, there's a rock thrown at that building. And last week was another occasion. Had to go down that way, and this time I was taking my time, as always for the past year. I've been taking my time, and I've been slowing down. Finally, I see something moving. Okay, looking at trees that were pushed over in the distance, and I see something moving. But because of all of the other trees and tree limbs and everything that was in the way, I had to, you know, like slow down, because sometimes, you know, you just want to make sure that it's not a tree limb. You want to make sure it's something and not nothing. But a lot of times it was nothing, but this time it was something. I slowed down, and now I see something moving in right in front of this tree that was pushed over. And at first I thought it would probably could have been one of the hunting dogs or a deer, because my trip prior to this one, last time I was through there, I seen a deer running through the woods. And but this time I saw something, and I seen what looked like a short, hairy figure, okay, brown hair. And you know, so as soon as I saw that, I stopped, backed up, I started looking, and that's when I seen it walk maybe about a few steps, and then it kind of, well, it, you know, I kind of noticed it was like squatting down with its back towards me, and maybe kind of like looking out of the corner of its eye, kind of like, you know, not fully turning its head, but just kind of like noticing that I'm there, and I'm noticing that it's there. And then it jumped up on the log on its 2 feet and then just jumped right over that. And I didn't see it after that. And then what I thought was maybe something on four legs, now I realize that there was two of them. And the second one did the same exact thing, but much quicker. You know, that one had darker hair, maybe close, you know, like black hair, and just jumped up and over. And as soon as I saw that, I got out and I started walking towards that area. And when I got really, really close, you know, my heart was like kind of pounding real hard and fast, and you know, kind of saw something in the distance waving, and I'm like, I just got a little bit too concerned for my safety at that point because I'm recalling the back of my head, you know, the rocks being thrown at the hut, and so, and I just stayed, I got as close as I could. I kept going back and forth, and then after a while I said, you know, I'd rather, I'd probably be more comfortable if I had somebody with me, you know, or maybe a...
You alone, Anthony?
Yes, I was alone.
What time of the night or day was it?
Oh, this was during the day. It was during close to lunchtime. So between, I can't recall the exact time, but I know it wasn't in the early morning, wasn't in the mid-afternoon. So, you know, it's probably around lunchtime, anywhere between like 11 and 1 o'clock.
Nobody around?
Nobody around. And if I brought you down this road, you could see why there was nobody else around. It's a private road.
What was the weather like that day?
It was kind of cloudy, and temperature wasn't too bad. It was a lot colder in the morning. Last week was a lot colder in the mornings than it is this week. So it was a lot colder in the mornings, but that day was, maybe about 65, 70 degrees. Don't recall the temperature at that point because I was already getting hot because, like I said, my heart was pounding and I just wanted to see if I could see some more, you know, to really get like a eye-to-eye contact.
No, I understand. What I'm trying to get at, Anthony, is this, real simple, is knowing the terrain and what the weather was like, you know, was the ground soft? Did you ever think about going back and see if there was any footprints or anything like that around?
I did. There are areas there that the ground is soft, but I don't know if you would probably get a footprint out of it because there's a lot of pine needles, you know, covering the ground there and, you know, kind of like preventing the path. You know, and forgive me for leaving out this detail. The reason why I kind of slowed down in this particular area is because it looked like, you know, a path cut across the trees, which was one of the reasons why I had slowed down in that area. So when I happened to look towards the left, it looked like this opening right there. Then that's when I saw the creatures there. And,
was there more than one?
There was two little ones.
Wow. About how big were they?
Not being a good judge of height, but I'd say they'd be about 3.5-4 feet from where I was, you know, to that log. I was trying to get a more accurate, because I know from the distance where I was, I know the tree that was pushed over is kind of up a little, and I know it cleared, you know, and I know the top of it, you know, like kind of the shoulders were above where the tree was resting.
Wow. So what color was the hair that you got to see on these things?
It was brown hair, long, you know. I don't want to say like spiny type, you know, maybe like almost like porcupine type, but, you know, it was kind of, you know, long, going down, you know.
Uh-huh. Did you get a chance to see the facial features at all? I know it was just...
No. When it jumped up, It kind of like, you know, I just saw kind of like maybe what might have been the left ear. So.
Okay, so the first thing, what did you do?
I got out of the truck, put the truck in park. I didn't move. I tried to, like I said, try to get a little bit closer, and I try to listen because It was one time in the past when I had walked out there during a rainy day. I remember walking, and it was in a different area, but it wasn't too far from there. I remember walking quietly, and I just snapped a twig, you know, and I snapped a real loud one. As soon as I did that, then I started hearing some whistling, you know. So I was trying to be real careful not to make noise, but, you know, it's just about impossible sometimes. And, but like I said, you know, the closer I got, you know, I kind of heart pounded real quick, and I didn't have my hard hat on just in case some rocks came whizzing.
Well, you know, I got to tell you a story now. Now I can finally tell you, welcome to the world of Sasquatch, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Believe me, you know, I can't wait to come see you. You know, we're going to be leaving here pretty soon, and we're going to be traveling all over the country. We're going to be out for an extensive period of time, more places so than others, and we put you on the list today. So let's see how fast we can come out and see you and put a face to a name and a face to a voice, and let's go out to that area that you encountered, okay?
Sounds good. We're looking forward to meeting you.
We've got a whole lot more show. Just mute yourself out, and we'll be back to you soon.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Thank you, and bless you. Great guy, Anthony. He's been on the show 2-3 times, ladies and gentlemen. Great, great guy. Welcome to the world of Sasquatch, my friend. Finally had his encounter. Bill, let's go to a commercial.
Okay, here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
Back to you, Tom. And Tom, before we get our next guest, I think I'd like to tell you, say something. I put an evaluation of the footprint of our next guests up. And Leroy Blevins did an outstanding job in doing that, and it's a pretty good analyzation of the footprint. I just want you to know that it's on www.bigfootlive.com.
Okay.
www.bigfootlive.com. Go under the guests list for the second guests, and you'll see the link. And also tonight, in addition to Paul, we also have Chad, Tom.
That's wonderful. Okay. All right. You mean what about Steve?
Steve and Chad are together on one phone, and Paul is on the other phone.
Okay, we got the trifecta tonight. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Bill. And by the way, you know, you guys heard commercial was talking about anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. You really need to see this, folks. It's going to be plastered all over the world real soon. Everybody in the world is going to see it. All those questions everybody had about those two clowns will be answered. You know, it's all on film. Film does not lie. Remember that. And what comes out of people's mouth don't lie neither, because you'll see it and hear it with your own ears and eyes. If you haven't got it, go out and get it. You get it on our website. Get it on Amazon.com. And real soon you'll be able to get it anywhere that you can buy DVDs from. Without any further ado, let's get out there to our good friends. This is Steve, this is Chad, and Paul. We've had them on the show here the last couple of weeks or 2 weeks prior. And they talked about, they went down a river, went into this cave, and they found this gigantic print. Well, get up to BigfootLive.com. We had that print analyzed. This one happened to be analyzed by Leroy Blevins, ladies and gentlemen. If you see the analogy he did, it's off the chain. Unbelievable. Go look at it. Don't listen to me. Go look at the job he's done. He even unfoiled a cut that one of these creatures had on its feet, that you could see the scar. That's how incredible it was. Without any further ado, let's get out there to our friends, Steve, Chad, and Paul. You out there, Steve?
Absolutely, Tom. Good evening.
Well, good evening to you guys, and thanks so much for joining us. What did you think of the analysis?
Tom, we were all very happy with the analysis. You know, like I said, this is all new to us. So seeing that was excellent. It's you know, further confirmation that I think we found something good here, Tom.
Well, here's the good thing, Steve. You got to understand something. I don't take anything lightly that anybody says or does, and you can see that in our works.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, we take this job very seriously. This is what we do for a living. And I try to tell a lot of people, like, you know, you could tell, because, you know, we get emails and we get letters and phone calls from a lot of goofballs also. And the people that got this and got that, you know, they want to use different names and be incognito. The real guys are the guys like you. And here's a vehicle. BigfootLive.com or BigfootLiveRadioShow.com or searching for Bigfoot.com is a vehicle, a true vehicle in the Bigfoot world to help people like you and others out there. And if it would be known to the true facts, other people throughout the years would come up and tell you the same story. Because there's very few people that go out anymore, you know, or will go out on the lead or help people the way we have. And you've seen what happened. As soon as we got your deal, we had somebody there within how quick?
Within a matter of days, Tom. It was very, very good.
Okay. And you see my people, how thorough they are. Okay?
Yep.
Now, here's the big thing. Did you see the cast that you made? All three of you guys made the cast? You all there?
Yep. Yeah, Tom.
Okay.
We you know, took your advice, and we were able to get back out to the location the weekend after we originally found the print. We actually brought two other close friends with us just for more confirmation, and we were able to, you know, first time making a cast, and I think it turned out pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah. Better than but, damn good.
Tom, Steve's leaving something out. This is Paul right now, but before we took the cast, because we're about 10 miles away, so I didn't really want to go back down to do this, but, you know, you kind of instilled that this was something important. But before we made this cast, my brother was telling me it doesn't matter if there's not any evidence of any hairs or anything, so as Steve's making the mold, and we actually brought a video camera and a high-definition camera. And as Steve's mixing up the mold, I'm down on my hands and knees with a flashlight looking at this thing. And I don't know if Steve told you yet, but we found a hair. And we found a hair and we kept it. None of us touched it. We have it all on videotape. And I don't know if Steve told you that yet or if you heard about that, but we got a hair. We still got it. None of us touched it. And, you know, we just don't know what to do with it, kind of, but...
Well, and that's great, and I'm glad you did that. Where do you have it right now?
Oh, it's at Steve's house. Steve has it locked away. You'd have to ask Steve.
I know, but is it in a bag, an envelope? Where'd you have it?
Oh, it's in cigarette cellophane. That's all we really had to put it in at the time.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
I have it in the cellophane still sealed from when we originally got it in there, and it's also wrapped up in a plastic bag, and I have possession of it.
Okay, just don't let any moisture get into it, okay?
Roger that, Tom.
Yeah, don't let any moisture get into that. Well, I got to tell you something. What did you see on the analysis that brings to mind with you people that knows that we got a real deal here?
Well, some of the comparisons to other casts, you know, it said in there that our particular cast showed a lot of features that you know, 95% of casts don't. The ball of the foot, the toes, and actually being able to see the arch of the foot in our cast. And from what I read, that's pretty unique. We actually have it sit right here, and we're looking at it right now, Tom.
What about where he brought out where the thing was injured and has the scar.
Absolutely, that as well. From the cast, you know, and being able to look at that, you know, like I said, this is new to us. So having Mr. Blevins take a look at it and being able to, you know, further confirm what we have, it's been outstanding.
Yeah, and to come out to publicly state that he's 97% sure that this is a real deal, I guess it made you happy. I know it did me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you. So, all right, you guys went back there. You believe you found a piece of hair. What else went on? Did you see anything new happen?
Yes, yeah, Chad could explain that. I have an injured hand right now, so I wasn't going to go back in the cave, but Chad and Steve did, and they found something else. They could explain that. I wasn't there, but I'll let Chad or Steve take over.
Go ahead.
Hey, Tom, this is Chad.
How are you, sir?
After we had made the or started making the casting of the print, myself and Steve and our two other friends, we decided to go back in the cave and try to go back farther than what we had originally done. And we had gotten back to a certain point where we were concerned about battery life and things of that nature. And Steve and one of our other friends decided to they were going to go back. Steve gave me the extra batteries, and not long after they had turned around, we pushed forward, and as I was looking down on the ground, I actually found another print. This one was a lot significantly smaller than the one that we took the casting of. We took digital photographs of that as well. It seems to be the same kind of print that we have in the, you know, in the original cast, but like I said, it's smaller, and it looks a lot older. Looks like it's been there quite a while. Like I said, you know, this is a decent way back in this cave. So it would be kind of hard to make a casting of it back there, take all the resources. So we figured we'd just get a good picture of it and send it off to you guys and see what you think of it.
And you did the right thing. Here's my question to you. This is Paul, right?
This is Chad.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chad. Here's my question. Is there another entrance or back entrance to this cave?
We
didn't make it that far.
I went back quite a ways, Tom, and I wasn't able to punch through. It got pretty narrow, and I didn't get far enough.
Okay, were there any bats in the cave?
No, I didn't see any bats. No, I didn't see any bats.
Okay, were there
any? There's caves all over this area, and there are bats all over. When the sun goes down, you don't really get hit by mosquitoes because there are bats all over. Other caves, they're pretty abundant, but they don't really. A lot of caves are blocked right now because of the bats have a fungus growing on that's killing them, so a lot of the caves are closed right now that do have the bats.
Okay, good. And I'm glad you're keeping up on this. Here's my next question. Is there a place to put a trail trip camera outside of the cave to see if anything goes in or out?
Yeah, there's trees all over the cave. You can't really see it. So, yeah, there's plenty of stuff to hang it on, yes.
Wonderful. That's
hey,
my
Tom? Favorite.
Yes.
This is Chad. In the previous interview that we had with you, you know, you'd asked us about, you know, indigenous animals and stuff like that. As we approached the print, you know, before Paul started really looking at it for errors and things like that, we did see a print behind, you know, the Bigfoot print. And it obviously wasn't, you know, Bigfoot print, but it looked like something of like a cat.
Okay. I had asked you if there was any mountain lion, cougar. Yeah.
And it looked pretty close to what that one of those would look like.
Well, you definitely have some action going on there. How is the water level now?
Tom, the water is it's pretty average for what it is at that for this time in the season.
This water is 75% spring fed, so it's pretty much at a constant year round. It's at a constant 56 degrees pretty much, so the water's pretty stable because it has about six of Missouri's largest springs feeding into it the whole time, so it's pretty constant.
So here's my question, fellas. My question is this. Is it going to rise and fill up the cave, yes or no?
No, there's no way. You're about 50 feet up the top of climbing, staggering up loose rock in a cliff. There's no way.
Okay, good, good. All right, fantastic. I love you guys. I love your enthusiasm. I love your spirit. I can't wait
right on.
Guys. And you're doing all the right things. I'll talk to you, of course, after the show or tomorrow off the air. And I want to thank you very much for your participation. And I'll tell you what, who knows? Maybe it'll be you guys that'll find the creature next.
Let's hope so, Tom. Keep that, Tom.
Okay.
Yep, thanks.
All right. Listen, Steve, Chad, and Paul, thank you for your participations. I'll be in contact with you real soon, fellas. Thanks for
Thank you, sir.
Tom, thank you.
Listen on to the show. We got a lot more coming. Ladies and gentlemen, these guys are just incredible. Just so proud of them. And these are the kind of people that serve in our armed forces. What do you think of these guys, Bill?
Absolutely phenomenal. Talked to him for half an hour prior to the show.
I know, it's just it's incredible. And you know what blows my mind is they get their feet wet, man. They're not afraid, and they're out there getting the job done. Period. End of report. I'm just so proud of them. I can't wait to meet them. You know, everybody out there around the globe, you heard of our interview with Jack from the East Coast. Super, super guy. He's become a real friend to Searching for Bigfoot, and he's become a friend to me personally. I just wanted to add that in. You all asked about him. You love his interesting stories. You've heard his vocalizations that he's gone through. And I've got a couple of questions here that I'm going to ask him before I bring him on, and maybe we can go through them real quickly before we go to our next guest. But let's get him on. Jack, you out there?
Yeah, Tom, nice to be with you. Marco, Bill, the same.
Good to have you, buddy. Good to have you. Listen, you know, I've got so many questions from people. They all wanted to know what you did for a living before you took a hiatus and started to look at Bigfoot.
Hey, on that line, Tom, do you want to just, whatever time I have, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, do you want to just make this question and answer session today?
Well, we can do both. I mean, we don't have to sit here and elaborate. Just, you know,
okay.
So can you answer that?
What I did for a living, I was a electronics technician / communicator for 25 years. And then I retired. I worked for another company for a couple years in electronics. And now I'm semi-retired. I do a little bit of electronic communication security work now.
Okay, good. That answers that question. Next question they've asked me here, are you married? And if so, how many children, or do you have children?
I'm married, and I have four daughters. Two of them live on the West Coast in California with you guys in the L.A. area. Uh-huh. I have another daughter in Michigan, and then the remaining daughter is out here with us in the East Coast.
Okay, good. Next question is the terrain that in which you habitate. Do you live on a ranch? Do you live in a housing district where there's a lot of houses around, or are you out in the country?
We're kind of on the fringe, Tom, between the country and city. We live in a subdivision, and we're on the edge of wilderness, East Coast wilderness. It's not as expansive as you guys have out there on the West Coast, but, you know, the creatures don't need a lot of acreage to roam in, so it's almost the ideal location. You know, we're near the city, but we're also near farms, rivers, ponds, lakes. So ideal location for them. They can come up and eat the fruit and the corn in the farms and orchards, and then go back out to where they sleep for the night.
Okay, good. You answered that question. Another question that they've got here is, how long ago did you first get interested in Bigfoot, And what made you get interested in the Bigfoot?
Well, I've been interested in the creatures and other cryptids pretty much my entire adult life, but I was ignorant on Bigfoot for years. I had no clue, you know, always thought that, it was a West Coast phenomenon, and Alaska, Canada, Oregon, Washington State, California, but I didn't really know that, because I hadn't studied it enough to realize that they were on the East Coast as well. And I think I shared the story the first week I was on your show. It was my mechanic that actually told me a story. He's an avid hunter. He told me a story about how he discovered Bigfoot prints in the snow. And he went through a bunch of detail, and I won't go through the story again, but that kind of got me on my way. And then that was 4 or 5 years ago, and I've had a serious interest in it ever since.
Next question here for you, Jack, is how many times have you encountered the creature?
I've had dozens of encounters. I've had five actual sightings. Actually, three sightings. The first sighting, I saw three of them together. The last two sightings were individual sightings.
Next question is that we've got down here is, have you ever taken any photos of these creatures?
I have one camera that I take out in the field when I'm out on investigations, and it's a limited IR, a Sony camcorder, and what I discovered is it's virtually useless. I can't pick up any images if I don't have light more than 50, 100 feet away. So because of that, I haven't been able to get any images.
How many vocalizations have you recorded in the past?
I've never counted them. If I were to guess, I would say 100.
Wow. Does that include all verbal, or does that have anything to do with tree knocking and rock clapping?
No, I wasn't even counting tree knockings and rock knockings. Tree knockings, I probably have a half a dozen. Rock knockings, I would guess. It's just a guess. I'd have to go through, and I'm still categorizing everything. Maybe a couple dozen.
Incredible. Incredible. So here's the next question. How long have you been doing this seriously without working for a living?
Well, I have been doing working for a living each of the last 4 years that I've been doing this. I retired full time. I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years back, and have just been working on and off different jobs. I've been in the landscape nursery business, and I've been doing security work. So it's afforded me a lot of time, and in the last 4 years, I've put in tons and tons of hours, especially in the last two, and then even more so in the last year, I pretty much dedicated a whole year to Bigfoot hunting and probably went out maybe 250 days out of the 356-day year.
Yeah, someone just wrote in right now saying to me, Tom, I think I remember Jack telling us that he had thousands of hours that he's got recorded. I guess you've been keeping a journal?
I keep a daily journal, electronic journal in Microsoft Word, and of all events, even when I don't go out, I still keep weather data, highs and lows. I spent a lot of time typing that up, so I have quite a bit of data collected.
I've got to tell you, it blows my mind, and you are just a great find, Jack, to talk to somebody who's got some great intelligence and to see how you were self-motivated and have taken this thing to the next level and then some. Okay.
Well, I appreciate that coming from the greatest Bigfoot hunter ever to be known to man.
Well, you're very kind. You're very kind. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that has their druthers and have their own say about Tom Biscardi, but that's okay. If you listen to what Marco Bill says, he doesn't listen to the crap on the Internet. He knows the truth as you know the truth as I
right.
know.
Right.
As our people and our supporters and our loyal friends know also.
They're jealous of you and they're angry because of the things that you've been able to do and because of the connections you have.
Yeah. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. You know what? You know what happens? When we get you on, whether it's just 2 minutes or 22 minutes, it's just so interesting. Time flies. It just freaks me out. It really does.
It's just as interesting for me to talk about this stuff as it might be for your listeners to listen to it.
Well, let me tell you something.
It's a passion. It's a passion.
Yeah, it is. And I'll tell
we
you
both have this passion, Tom. And, you know, nothing's going to take us away from this passion.
You bet. You bet. And well, until the big guy in the sky says it's your time. But I'll tell you this, and it blows my mind. Not many people are dedicated to the fact the way you are to the degree to see how you've documented everything. You know, I listen to a lot of these people. They call me up and they did this and they did that. And let me tell you how I stump them. I said, that's great. I says, what have you documented and that's out there with your name on it in the world of Bigfoot?
Mm-hmm.
And they all sit there and go, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of people trying to get on the shirt tails of others, okay?
Oh, yeah.
That think that they're Sasquatch detectives and know-it-alls and all that kind of crap. But you know what? They're nothing. None of them have contributed anything on their own. And that's the whole point. You are a doer.
Well, okay? You know, Tom, there's a lot of naysayers out there that want to try to discredit you or laugh at me. And, you know, I just tell them, hey, get another hobby. What do they have to show for themselves? I mean, if they're not willing to give us the time of day or give us any respect, then is it our duty to return the respect to them?
You hit it right on the head. And that's the whole point. And that's the whole point that I brought out to you. And you said it in your own terminology. They have not contributed one iota to nothing when it comes to Bigfoot except to criticize others, okay, and to run all off the shirt tails of all the other people trying to do something.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem with this world. You know what the people need to do out there is to go and see the truth. Go on an expedition with the guys who are really out there. And that
exactly.
may happen. They're the ones that you'll learn from. They're the ones that you'll experience something from. They're the ones that you'll see something being happening.
If they get off their butts and get out there in the field, they might just learn something, and maybe they'll change their from being a naysayer to an active investigator. And if we get enough of them out there, like you were saying earlier in the show, and like you alluded to earlier, maybe we'll finally get the evidence that we need to, you know, prove the existence of these creatures once and for all.
True words are never spoken, my friend. God bless you. We got another great guest. We're into his time already. Until
Thanks
next
for having
week, me. Just mute yourself out. I want you to hear this next guest too. Okay?
We'll do.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. That was Jack. You keep asking me these questions. Well, we asked him this time, and he answered all of them to you straight above board. Doesn't care. He just spontaneously just came out of his mouth. He doesn't hold anything back. He tells you the truth the way it is. The way it is. T-I-Z. We're going to stay on the East Coast, ladies and gentlemen, and close the show with this guy. Just met him recently. Good guy, okay? Him and his partner, they have a little film out there. It's a little documentary. And his name is Jason. He's got his friend Greg. Let's go out there in New York and see if they're on the show. You're out there, you guys?
Tom, I'm here. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Thank you for joining us, Jason.
Greg called in on his own line, so he's going to need to be unmuted.
Oh, okay. Marco, unmute him.
You got it. That was the unknown.
Hi, Greg.
There we go. Greg,
hey, guys.
Hi, Greg. Let me see if I remember. I saw the film, by the way. Just tell me which one you were.
I'm pretty much the guy behind the camera, Tom.
Okay. All right. So I know who Jason is. I know who you are now. I was hoping you had the other guy on there that was kind of the funny dude.
Oh, the scrawny little blonde kid, huh?
Yeah. Who is he now?
That's Nick.
This show's on way past his bedtime.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let me set the stage on this, first of all. These guys put a film together, okay? I don't want to say not professional, but, you know, anybody that's got the cojones to get out there and do what they did, I got to call them men, first of all, number one. Number two, they had an idea, they had a dream, and they followed that idea, and they made that dream come true, okay? They had the respect enough to call me and talk to me and show it to me to ask me if it was okay for my part in this movie. I'm in there about three different parts. That was newsreel stuff. And I happened to know the people who were in the film. And I told them, you know what? I would put that film out to let the rest of the Bigfoot hunters, the rest of the Bigfoot researchers out there, to see how there's other sides of the Bigfoot world. There's the true, real group that go out and research and do it the right way. And then there's the group that these guys follow, okay? Well, I'm trying to be in a nice way, fellas.
No, you know what? You know what, Tom? That's why we wanted to have you in it. Yeah. We needed to have a professional there to contrast the amateurs we were with, I suppose.
Well, you know, I got to tell you something. There was one part you had to be a believer real quick because, you know, I know Becky and I know him, and Becky's got balls, I guess is the best, just way of putting it. She would have gone into the forest, okay, and followed whatever, you know, whatever that noise was or whatever who threw those stones at you, okay? And then when I saw that he's, we better get out of here, I'm thinking to myself, you've got to be kidding me. And then I said,
oh.
Why didn't you guys just insist, hey, man, let's go. People wait a lifetime for that to happen.
Oh, it broke our hearts, Tom. I mean, if you watch Jason's face in the video, you can see he's just completely heartbroken because all we wanted to do was go into the woods after it. But we'd never been Bigfoot hunting before, you know. We knew hardly anything about it.
Oh, I thought you guys had met with him in the past because it says part two.
Oh, no. Well, see, we had gone out with them before. Gowan had actually been the first guy to go. Yeah. There's two different parts. That's not all on the same day, actually.
Okay.
That first part was getting dark, and they absolutely did not want to be in the woods after dark.
Now, does that give you a caution sign automatically?
Well,
I mean, when
yeah.
you know that these creatures are nocturnal and they feed and travel at night... What kind of Bigfoot group are you going out with?
The only thing
we don't really know.
Yeah, we were amateurs to all this, and you know we found out that there was this guy Tim who lived close to us and claimed he was a Sasquatch hunter, and so we had to go.
Well, you know, is that you, Greg, talking?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, I made an offer to Jason, and I hope that you join him. Just don't give any dates or any times or any states, please.
Sure.
That's confidential. And if you want to, you can come with him. And I'm going to tell you one thing, okay? You want to see some real Bigfoot hunting going on. You want to see some real Bigfoot searching going on. And after the 3, 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning, and if you haven't soiled your pants either in front or in the back, then you'll know that you've been really Bigfoot hunting. Believe me. Okay?
Oh, nothing sounds better to me.
I want to go on an actual Bigfoot hunt.
Well, I gave you the invitation. You know where it's going to happen. You know when it's going to be. And let's not talk about it on the air. I don't want nobody to know nothing, okay? I don't want a damn Bigfoot convention going on. I just, what I want is that you're going to actually see a real alpha team now, the A team, in progress, okay? You're not going to see any of that Burger King shit going on. And ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you this. For comic relief, you got to go see this film because they all stop off at Burger King and they all got these fake hats on and they're sitting there eating Burger King. And these are the fearless Bigfoot hunters that wouldn't go after the the creature.
Well,
oh, my
yeah,
God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You need to get
for 6 years, Tom, we thought that's what you do. You go out when the creature yells, you go home and you wear a Burger King hat.
Well, here's what you need to do. You need to get that film out there. That's the Bigfoot people out there in the world, Bigfoot world, get to see that there's a comedic part also. It's not all serious stuff. That there are people out there, and you caught the side of that. I'm really proud of you.
By the way, did you remember your direction?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that so much.
Oh, you need to get it. What's the name of this thing anyway? I don't even know the name of it.
It's The Bigfoot Hunter, Still Searching.
Oh, The Bigfoot Hunter, Still Searching. Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please don't get that misconstrued with the anybody who's doing it for real. Maybe you should put a disclosure in there somewhere. The
I think
Coast
we might. I think
Hunter,
we might have
know,
to.
The East Coast, the Northern East Coast Bigfoot Hunter. Or something, you know. But I'll tell you what, fellas, I after seeing it in its entirety, and thank you for sending me a pre-release.
Of course.
I looked at it, Marco Bill looked at it, and he says to me, first words out of his mouth, I couldn't get him to shut up because he was laughing so much. And I said, Marco, what are you doing? He says, you know what? This is real comic relief, Tom. I says, yeah, I hear you. And that's what I tell them, because, you know, because I tried calling your partner there a couple of times, but I guess I had the office number instead, and I left messages. But I'll tell you what, you need to definitely, definitely get it out to the Bigfoot world and let them see the other side of the coin. It's real simple, because I don't think anybody has done that yet.
I don't think you see much of that, no. And I mean, we've had a many years to we actually grew up ghost hunting. That was our thing. So we didn't know anything about Bigfoot hunting, but we've always been fascinated with the idea. And I mean, I guess it's kind of our shtick. Everything we do is a little bit on the lighthearted side, a little comedic side. So it worked out perfectly that we found the Bigfoot hunters that we did because they really played into the comedic lighthearted nature.
You know, I'll leave you with this last question, okay, and hopefully you give me the right answer.
All right.
When you had that incident, when the creature either yelled back at you or threw the rocks at you, what went through
sure.
your head?
Mine was let's get in the woods and see it.
I thought, I was a believer at that point, but I had to change my mind because I thought there could possibly be something in the woods here stalking us.
Okay. So whose idea was it to say, hey, let's go get in there and chase it? Or did anybody say that?
Well, if you watch the movie, the three ghost hunters run towards the woods, and the two Bigfoot hunters ran away from the woods.
I saw it. That's why when I saw the skinny kid with the bangs and the comic guy, like I really did. Yeah, you know, when they gave him the gun and they gave him the extra shotgun and all that, I'm thinking to myself, wow. I said, and this poor kid probably never shot a gun in his life, you know?
Oh, he hadn't.
He hadn't,
never.
Huh? Yeah.
We were terrified of getting shot.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. And that's the thing. Remember one thing. When you're out there with people that don't know what they're doing with guns, make sure they're in front of you, not behind you.
Oh, we did. Trust me, Tom.
It didn't matter because he was waving that gun all around. Honestly, there was no less than 40 different times I could have been shot while filming that movie.
Be very careful. Listen, it was an honor to have you guys on our show. I'm glad.
Thank you.
Listen, it's great, and hopefully you'll take me up on my invitation. Be well. Thank you so much for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to go see this movie. Maybe they'll rechange the name or something. Maybe Marco will put it up on the website. But you've got to see it. It is comic relief beyond control. God bless you guys. Kudos and salutations.
Hey, Tom, before we sign off, we do have a caller on here, and I think it's Jim Dawson.
Oh, hurry up. Put him on. We got a minute
Jim,
left.
Is that you? Jim, is
hey.
That you?
Hey, Tom and Marco, how are you guys doing?
Hey, buddy, how are you? Listen, I heard the good news.
I got to tell you, we've got some great exciting stuff going on in Arkansas here. Today, I had put up some tree formations, some X's and asterisks out along the railroad trestles underneath the railroad tracks. About a week and a half ago, my son Jack and I did. They were all torn down. And then in another area just downstream from there, there was a brand new X made by something. And then there was a pile of railroad spikes. And we haven't seen railroad spikes for almost 20 years here on the railroad. There were 32 railroad spikes piled up in the area that we walked through as a gift to us, I suppose. And we haven't seen them again in 20 years, and they were right in the middle of the creek bed that we walk through every day. So when we're coming back, we look down there, the railroad spikes, and then we put a knife up in a tree as a gift back to whatever left us the railroad spikes. So I'll fill you in next week on it.
Wow, that's incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, think about that. He's getting some kind of communication with the creatures down there in Arkansas. They're leaving each other different things back and forth until we continue next week. Jimmy, thanks so much for sharing.
Kudos, hey, buddy. I appreciate it.
Hey, till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door.